Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, great. Okay, we go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 to 25 this morning. Starting out right. Okay, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Also, when he was reveled, did not revel in return. When he suffered, did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Please bow ahead and join me in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we're in submission to you. We need to submit to Heavenly Father each and every day of the week. It's not today. And the thing is, once we do that continuously, and I know this is, people have continued to do that, they try, but a lot of times too with what's going on out there beyond these walls, sometimes it pulls kind of strong, but you know, He's in us is greater than he is in the world. And we got to continue leaning on him, because his ways are not our ways. Seek him first, he says. His righteousness and all these other things be added unto us. Thy will be done, not our will. And we ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Please, to the book of Galatians chapter 1. I believe that the Lord is having me walk through the book of Galatians, all six chapters, that we can get a sense of what Paul was saying to the Galatian church. The Galatian church were a people that got saved, loved the Lord, and then started going back into Judaism, going back into the law, back into having to be circumcised to be right before God, fulfilling the law in order to be right before God. And Paul came back on the scene saying, that ought not be so. He said in verse 6, he said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Paul reiterated here, talked about a different gospel, but then he said there is only one gospel. You understand that this morning. There are not many different gospels, and there are not many different ways to get to God. I've heard it so often. I'm sure you have heard it as well. God is so big that he has made so many different ways to get to him. You can get to him through the tree. You can get to him through an egg carton. You can get to him through all these different things. But Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Can you say amen to that this morning? There is only one way. And yes, God is very narrow-minded. But he's God and he has the right to be narrow-minded. Amen? He has the right because he's the one that created everything. He is the one that has the right to make the rules. So Jesus, God is very legalistic in this one aspect. If you want to come to me, you come to me through my son. Because that is the only way. You come to me through my son. I have given this world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God is saying, I have given you my son. I have given you the one and only way to me. Now, if you want to come to me, you must first come to my son. If you do not come to my son, you cannot get to me. Because it is my son is the one who was on the cross that paid the price for your sin. And if you try to bypass the cross and you try to bypass my son, you are trying to come into my presence with all of your sin, and I will have nothing to do with sin.
That's right.
But I love you. I love you so much, I gave you my son. Whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are you a whosoever?
Amen.
That was pretty weak. I guess maybe half of you are whosoever. So the rest of you need to get saved. Are you a whosoever?
I am.
Then that means Jesus died on the cross for you. If you have not received Jesus Christ as Lord, he still died on the cross for you. He made the way for you to get to heaven. He made a way for you to be in right standing with the Father. Why? How does that happen? Because Jesus paid the price for my sin. This is the gospel. This is the gospel that was brought to the Galatian church. This is the gospel that the Galatian church started to move away from. And Paul said to them, I marvel that you are turning so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. You're trying to get to God in other ways. You can never, please understand this, you can never fulfill the law. So why even try? Come to the one who has given you the grace and the mercy that supersedes the law. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I did not come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill it. And that's what he did. He fulfilled the law in every aspect you can't. It doesn't mean that the law is null and not in effect anymore. Doesn't the law say, thou shalt not murder? But if we say, well, no, under the law, then look out, man, because if you say something to me that I don't like, I may just blow you away. After all, I'm not under the law.
I can shoot back.
Then I'll pick on somebody that's not armed, okay? the law is not to be in effect, but we understand that we cannot fulfill the law. That's what Jesus said when he said, I did not come to do away with it. I came to fulfill it. Because you can't. The law is intuitive. Let me get a little closer to you because people online couldn't hear you. We could, but
that's
say that again.
My voice is full of phlegm.
No, say what you said before.
What did I say? I said the law is the tutor that leads us to Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's what the law was for. The law, you wouldn't know what sin is if you didn't know the law, because the law reveals sin. All right? So the law becomes a tutor. What is a tutor? A tutor teaches you, right? So it teaches you the way to Christ, because it reveals the depravity of your heart. That's what it does. The law reveals the depravity of your heart. So the more I try to fulfill the law, the more depraved I get. Really, because I cannot fulfill the law. It's a tutor. It brings us to Christ if we allow it to. All right? So here in verse 11, I'm going to read verse 11 to the end of the chapter. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. Hallelujah. But I make known to you, verse 11, brethren, that gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. This gospel did not come through man. It wasn't conceived by man. It wasn't thunk up by man. Is that a word, thunk up? Thunk? Think? It's past, thunk is a past tense of think. It is in my language anyways. It was not thought up by man. We went through it last week. It's a crazy story. It really is. You look at the gospel and you think about the gospel and you get it's wild. It's a wild story. And Paul is saying here, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. It was not thought up by man. It is a crazy gospel to think of this God that decided that he's going to become a man and he's going to come to us in the form of a man and be born of a virgin, like that's never been done before, never been done since, and grew up as a young man and brought himself to the place where he was arrested and even brought before Pilate, and then he was condemned to death, and he was whipped, and he was torn apart, physically torn apart. The scripture in Isaiah says he was marred beyond any recognition. You couldn't even tell it was Jesus anymore because he was so ripped up. And then nailed on the cross. This is a crazy story. It's wild. It's unimaginable that this could possibly be true. But it is. Hallelujah for that. It is. And Paul is saying here, for I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, to show you how crazy this is, in Acts chapter 26, I'm going to start reading in verse 8. This is Paul. He was arrested and he's now speaking to Agrippa and Festus. And he says, why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in the prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. He was part of their death. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midnight, O king, along with the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. See, when he was persecuting the church, he was persecuting Jesus. When we're persecuted, Jesus takes it very personal. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. This is Paul. He is giving testimony of this to King Agrippa and to Festus. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open the eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who were sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. To this heavenly vision, this is where God, Jesus, imparted the understanding of the gospel to Paul on the road to Damascus. Now, just as a side note, how many here believe that he was knocked off his horse? Now, find it in the scriptures. It's not there. There's no mention of when in Acts of the actual Damascus Road experience and the three different times that Paul reiterated about it. Not one time was it mentioned a horse. He could have been walking along. I just wanted to throw that in. I discovered that the other day when I was studying, because I always thought he get knocked off a high horse. He got knocked off his horse. There's nothing in here about a horse. You know where that came from? It came from a painting. That's where it came from. There is knocked off a high horse from olden days in 1700s or 1800s. The painting was made, but the painting, we have to be careful, so careful, to make sure we stay true to the scriptures. Amen. All right. Anyways, I just want to throw that in. I won't charge you extra for it. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. You see, God imparted to Paul, he was Saul at that point, this heavenly vision. And he's talking to Agrippa, and he's talking to Festus about it. And King Agrippa and Festus, he says this in verse 24. He says, now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. How many people have ever told you that gospel, that message that you're saying is crazy, it's stupid? You can't believe something as far-fetched as that. Here, Festus is saying, you're much learning, it's driving you crazy. It's driving you mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. You got this story, so this wild and crazy story, down to the place where I can almost believe it. But why was he able to believe? Come to the place almost to believe it? Because of the power of change that happened in Paul's life. He was bringing Christians to court, and he was casting his vote for them to be murdered, for them to be executed. Why? Simply for being a Christian. That in itself sounds far-fetched, right? But let me tell you, it's happening in this world today. All throughout this world, there's many places where Christians are being martyred for their faith. They're being told, you will deny your God or you will die. And they look at him, then kill me. I will not deny my faith. I will not deny my Lord. And they're losing their lives. And here, King Agrippa is saying, do you believe the... King Agrippa, verse 28, then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. Listen to me, Paul lived a life from the moment that he was converted, from that moment that he had that Damascus Road experience, from that moment forward, his purpose was not to try and snuff the church, but to exalt Jesus Christ to all to see. And that brought him to the place where his life was snuffed out too. We're back in our text in Galatians. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church, verse 13, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. What Paul is saying here is that, for you have heard my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Now, most of us here, I would say probably all of us here, there's not a Pharisee here in the real sense, okay? I mean, sometimes we act pharisaical. You know what I mean? But, I mean, Paul was a true Pharisee. He grew in the teachings of the pharisaical way. And here he's saying, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism. That was Paul's former conduct. What was yours? What was your former conduct before Christ came into your life?
A sinner.
A sinner. Yeah. That's a very exacting yet very broad statement, because it covers all things. What were you before Christ came into your life? You were what?
Denier.
You were a denier. Yep. All right, you were a denier. What, somebody else? What were you before Christ came into your life? A heathen. Oh, man. Can you imagine this guy? This guy has got so much love for people, and he just, whenever he comes, even no matter, he's physically, he's hurting and all, he's always got a smile on his face, and he just loves everybody that comes in, and here he's telling me he was a heathen. You were a heathen.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you even got this tattoo on the top of your head, you know? Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, wherever you go, I mean, when you, if you watch the live stream, you can always tell Joe because of that right down the back of his head. You know? He was a heathen. Somebody else, what were you before Christ came into your life?
I was lost with no direction.
You were lost and you had absolutely no direction whatsoever. Somebody else. What?
Worldly.
Somebody else started saying something.
Selfish.
A mess. You were a mess, lady. Oh, my goodness gracious, you were a mess. What were you?
I was a good little Catholic girl that saw anybody else as a heretic that weren't Catholic.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You mean you were part of the Pharisaical movement? Oh, my goodness. So Paul would have identified with you, right?
That's what they believe.
Yeah, yeah. What were you?
Survivor.
You were what?
Survivor.
A survivor, a simple survivor. And I know some of the things you had to survive, you know. Yes, sir.
Easily misguided.
Easily misguided. Whoa. Whoa, man. Are you hearing this? Paul was saying that, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism. He's saying, you've heard of what I was. And we just heard from many here what you were. But you are not that now.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody get excited about
Amen.
That.
Amen.
I tell you, man, I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. Because if I was what I used to be, I never would have even made it to 71. I would have probably been dead at the age of 30 if I was blessed to make it that far. You know, from the things that was running up my veins and the lifestyle that I was living. And Paul was saying here, you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God. I didn't persecute the church of God. I just persecuted myself. I was just going to kill myself. I wasn't on a suicide trip, but I was on a suicide trip. You know what I mean by that? It wasn't intentional. I was going to go down. I'm going to go down with a smile on my face, you know, because I'm higher than a kite. Now, how can you be high as a kite and land on the ground? You know, that's something I always wondered about. How did that happen? I'm higher than a kite. I can't get off the floor, but I'm higher than a kite. It's ridiculous. But you know, I love that one phrase that you see in the scripture time and time and time again. It says these two words, but God. But God. That's what Paul is saying here. You know what I was. And I advanced in the Judaism as a Pharisee beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly jealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. When it pleased God, that word please that is used there in the Greek actually means to take great pleasure in. God took great pleasure in Paul. As he had separated Paul from his mother's womb, he knew Paul before he even was formed in his mother's womb. He knew everything that was Paul was going to be, and he knew exactly what Paul was going to become because of the power of the cross. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, to look at verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. To reveal his son in me. This is what God took great pleasure in Paul. He was going to take Paul from the Pharisaical movement that he was so solid in, and that his belief structure was so solid in that Pharisaical movement, and he was going to take Paul out of that and bring him into the light of God. He was going to bring him into a place where he was going to totally change his theology. And in totally changing his theology, he totally changed his life.
Right.
He flip-flopped. Went from killing him to being a part of him. And even people were going, huh? What? I mean, some were even afraid of him, even after he got saved. They were afraid of him because of what he was doing. But this is the important part I want you to see. In verse 16, the first words, to reveal his son in me. To reveal his son in me. God the Father took great pleasure in Paul to reveal his son in Paul. You know what that's saying? He was going to take Saul, who was a Pharisee, who was just trying to destroy the church. Let me tell you right now, I'm going to tell the world, you can't destroy the church. They've been trying to do it from day one, and all you do is you make it stronger.
Right. That's right. Amen.
But he was going to take Saul and flip-flop him so much that he couldn't even be called Saul anymore. And he said what? To reveal my son in him. And did you look at Paul's life from that point in Damascus on, what do you see? You see a man that has his total being.
That's right.
His total being. Every nook and cranny of his soul was filled so full with God that's all he wanted to do was to reveal God to this world.
Right.
I can imagine what would be on his Facebook. I can imagine what it would be on his X. I don't even have X. I don't understand what it is.
Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter. They say Twitter. Or X. Whatever name you give it, I don't understand it. I went to it on to try and figure it out. And, yeah. But, you know, everything about Paul was to reveal Christ to a dying world. That was his life. And I believe that now it may sound radical, but I believe that that's what God's called each and every one of us to. Yes, yes, we may work for the school system. Yes, we may be a carpenter. We may be a plumber. We may have a business of putting skylights in. We may work for Plum Pack. What's the name of it now?
Odie.
Huh? It's called what?
Odie.
Odie's? Okay, that place. You know, you may, I don't know what your profession is, but your profession is what Paul did as a tent maker. He was a tent maker to try to pay his way so he could eat and have shelter, and he wouldn't be a burden to others, but his purpose of his life was to reveal Jesus Christ to those that don't know him. That was his entire purpose. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor do I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. He came right back to Damascus where it began, where he was knocked down onto the ground, not off his horse. Maybe it was off his horse, but the scripture doesn't say. Could have been a wagon, yeah. Could have been a chariot. We don't know. We just know that he hit the dirt. When God revealed himself, down he went. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. The power of the gospel to change. The power of the gospel can change anyone and will change everyone. Did anybody watch the Dove Awards on Friday night? Kathy and I did. The Dove Awards. It was on TBN. C.C. Winan was given the award of being the best artist of the year. I think that's what it was. And she came out and she gave testimony that was so powerful. I love the Dove Awards because they're all these musicians and all they want to do is glorify Christ. And there's no backstabbing, there's no competitiveness like you see in some of the other award shows and all. They just, there was like five or six people that were nominated for that. And when C.C. Winans got the nomination, and when she started to come up to get the award, all those that were nominated with her came up and gave her a hug and greeted her, and, you know, was so happy for her. And one of them even helped her up on the stage. You never see that with the other ones. You'd never see that. But C.C. Winans said this, that was so magnificent. I don't know if I'm going to be able to say it exactly the way she said it. But she said this in essence. She says, you all know me and you identify with me through my music. And I thank you for that, and you know, all of you out on TV that support me and, you know, buy my music and all. And I thank you very much. But you know, when it comes down to it, Jesus does not know me by my music. He knows me because of my intimate relationship with him, and that's it. I'm like, wow. Wow. And that was what Paul was saying. And he's so filled with Christ, that's all he can do is tell people about Jesus. I shared with you about my wife, Kathy. She's in teaching children's church. The last Sunday of this month, I'm going to be in there teaching the children's church, and you're going to be preaching, right? You're going to fill the pulpit for us. And I've always said, you know, I have no problem in introducing people to Kathy. The love of my life, my partner in life. Used to say partner in crime, but even that has changed. You know, hallelujah. I have no problem in introducing people to my wife. Why? Because she's beautiful, because she loves me. And she would do anything for me, and I would for her. I have no problem in that. Why would I have a problem introducing somebody to Jesus, who has changed my life so much, and given me so much, and gave me a purpose in my life that is so strong that it motivates me? That's the motivating factor of my life now. When I tried to retire, I'm glad God made it clear I was not to. But when I realized that God didn't want me to retire, it became a real relief to me. Because now I can continue spending the rest of my life to fulfill what God has called me to. He told me, he says, I didn't give you a job, brother. I didn't give you a job that you retire from. I gave you a life calling, and that's what I expect. So every once in a great while, Kathy and I disappear for 2 months and pretend we retired. But then we come back and get in the mix. Amen. Paul here, he says, and they glorified God in me. But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. Even the church recognized the change that happened in that man. And I want you to know this morning that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can begin today to open your heart and let him come in, because he will change you. You may think, well, my life's okay. You know, that's not a big deal. I don't really need change. Oh, yeah, you do. Because if you haven't got Christ in your life, you can lead a good life. You can have a fairly good life. You can make money or whatever it is that drives you. But when you breathe your last, you're not going to be known by God by all the things that you did and what music you maybe written and sung. You're not going to be known by God by all of the good things that you have accomplished in your life. You're going to be known by God by one thing: your relationship with Him, or lack thereof. Because that's what brings you into heaven. You receive Jesus as Lord. You receive eternal life. You reject the Lord. You reject that life. It's your fault. You would go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. That's why He gave us Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to close with this one thought. Paul didn't play games. When, before Christ came into his life, he was bent on destruction. When Jesus came into his life, he was bent on restoration. It was his driving force. Paul did not play games with God, and he didn't play games with people. So don't play games with God. Get real with Him. Get real with Him. Because He got real with you. Let's pray. Father, we do bless You and praise You. We bless Your holy name because You are God and there is no other. I thank You, Lord, for Your word in Galatians chapter 1. And Lord, I thank You that You've got a hold of me. And You are still in the process of shaking me, purifying me, make me whole. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here that has not received You as Lord and Savior, they not leave this place without having You in their heart. And I praise You for that, Lord. And church, with your heads bowed, and I'm just going to ask you to pray along with me. Pray these words. Pray them if you really mean it. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive You today as my Lord, as my Savior. I need You. I'm going to stop today with playing games with You. I'm getting real with You right now. I repent of my sins. I open my heart. I receive You now as my Lord and as my Savior. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, will you be willing to just raise your hand and let me know? Praise God. Praise God. If you need a Bible, I've got one for you. All right? Amen. 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 Praise God. That's good. That's good. God is good.
All the time.
All the time?
God is good.
Let's stand. We're going to close with a song, but I do want to pass a blessing upon you as I do every day, every Sunday morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. That He'll give you peace and understanding of His word. I pray that God will impart to you discernment of His word. That you will discern the areas of your life where His word has not taken root and needs to. And that you will have the courage to allow His word to root in that area. That it will root out darkness.
Yes.
And replace it with the light of God.
Yes, Father. Yes.
Thank You, Lord. Father, I pray for each one of us. There are things in our life that do not line up with Your word. And I pray the blessing of courage to face those things.
Yes.
Courage to face them. Courage to deal with them. Courage to circumcise them from our lives. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.